Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonino, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Show with Truth Straight Up. Got a great program for you today. We're going to have Gene Pirro.
Judge Jeanine.
We're going to have Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch in a different capacity. He wrote a great book on presidential ratings. And we're brought to you, as always, by
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, a great website, one I check out every day. Hey, want to also remind folks, you can always listen to us live through Zoom, and welcome to everybody joining us on Zoom. But you can also just go to ChuckandJulie.com, and that'll send you everywhere you need to go. And you can also go ahead and get the archive podcast there, too. But we're waiting for Judge Jeanine. Sometimes when you book some of these national guests, sometimes the time can be kind of an issue. And as we said, Robert Spencer earlier, but why don't we launch right into then one of the...
Sure, and if our producers out in California want to give the judge a call as a backup, that'd be great.
Right. I always turn my phone... pardon me while I mess with my phone. I like accidentally turn on the flashlight. Anyway, one of the big things today, and I've been tweeting that this really kind of says a lot about what the choices are we have in November. Do we want to be ruled by the mob, or do we want to be ruled by the rule of law? By now, everybody's heard the shooting of the two LA deputies. And the way I understand it, they weren't actually like on patrol. They were hired to work for, and they were keeping an eye basically on the bus and the train, the mass transit station. And they were just sitting there. And I think there's no other way to explain it, that they were ambushed, right? And I don't know. I mean, that's incredibly disturbing. And then apparently the female deputy, 31-year-old mother of six, went ahead and, you know, get out of the car. And I'm sure you've seen the horrific pictures of her injuries, managed to call for help and then help save her partner, a 24-year-old. Both of them only been on the force less than a year. I mean, talk about rookies, right? And they're just sitting there, and we'll play that video here in a second. But I don't know, Chuck, if it's more disturbing or as disturbing or... But the video that the guy by the name of Bino the Great, who has since, by the way, deleted his Instagram account and his Facebook accounts and all of that, was gleefully doing selfies of the whole thing, not trying to help or anything like that. Hey, so Thomas, if we haven't gotten Judge Jeanine, let's go ahead and play the video. It's a really quick video that was taken from a surveillance camera of the shooting, the deputies being shot. If we could play that real quick. And there you see, he just kind of walks up. And an earlier, some other surveillance pictures were released that show him kind of walking around the corner. So it appears that this was very intentional. It appears that he was deliberately going to where they were, not like he was just kind of walking by and something was said or something provoked him or anything like that. It appears that this person just walked up. Now, one other thing too, somebody was saying, is this guy a midget or something like that? Apparently, there's been all kinds of rumors on that because they've got a $100,000 reward that they're offering for it, Chuck. Apparently they're saying, no, it's a fisheye lens, which kind of distorts some of that. But they're working on trying to get that better. Okay. I think we might have Judge Jeanine here in a second. And it is indeed a little bit of confusion about the time. So hopefully she's got time for us now. She has a new book out, which is what we wanted to talk to her. Don't Lie to Me. You know, which is, again, all the mainstream media do. I was reading, I'm going to, a brief rant while we wait to see what happens here. Political. And political used to be, I think, okay. At least
never was okay. Well, that's worse now.
It's worse now. Okay. It's worse now. Where they were talking about all different kinds of things. And then the reporter actually writes, it is undisputed that the Russians tried to meddle in the 2016 election. It is undisputed that they hacked the Democrat emails. And it's undisputed that they gave it to WikiLeaks. It's like, right. Are you crazy? I mean, talk about a flat out lie. lie, lie, right? Number one, it's undisputed by the Mueller team that the Russians did not do anything. I mean, the CrowdStrike, the law firm, or the cybersecurity firm that was hired to take
Well, we've
a look
got Judge Jeanine now,
oh, okay.
So let's transfer over to her.
We my rant have in a second.
Yeah, we'll go to your rant. Judge Jeanine, welcome back to the Chuck
Hi.
And Julie Show. How are you doing?
We're good. We're good.
Very good. We're very good.
So you have a new book out. Don't lie to me and stop trying to steal our freedom. How? First off, how do you ever have time to write all these books on top of and keeping up with everything else?
Well, you know, I'll tell you why. Because I get so frustrated when I watch the news, report the news, that in the end, you know, I just want to put my opinion on the news. And so I do it regularly. And what's happening in the country today is so frustrating to me. The whole concept of, you know, people just lying, politicians lying to our face as though we're a bunch of idiots who can't figure things out. So I thought I would outline all the lies in Don't Lie to Me and Stop Trying to Steal Our Freedom as a way, to be honest with you, it's therapeutic. It almost relieves some of my frustration.
Well, if you're going to list all the lies, how'd you keep it down to 305 pages?
Well, I got to tell you, it wasn't easy. But every day I watch the news and I want to add something to the book. Look, you know, when Joe Biden comes out and he says, the big point of his campaign is that Donald Trump didn't handle the pandemic right. I mean, I almost blew a gasket. Wait a minute. Aren't you, Joe Biden, the one who said that Donald Trump, when he closed the border to China, that he was being xenophobic and hysterical?
Yes.
And Joe Biden was still in March. The president closed the border on January 31st. That's 10 days after we first experienced someone with coronavirus. Okay, he closes the border shortly thereafter. He closes it from Europe. And Joe Biden, we're talking the end of January now, Joe Biden in March is doing he's doing rallies to the extent you can call 20 people in a room a rally, but that's
yeah.
What Biden can gather. He's doing rallies in March, and he's now criticizing the president. So he writes an op-ed in April and how he's going to save America. The only problem is that even the New York Times said that that the president was doing everything that Joe
right.
Biden said was recommending. I mean, it's just one lie after another. And now Joe Biden is saying, you know, I feel bad for those police officers who were shot. I'm glad he said it. Thank God. Okay. But for 100 days, with cities burning, businesses, people being shot, businesses being looted, rioting, not one word, the DNC, not one word. And he says, when he's asked if he's going to defund the police, he says, yes, absolutely. He gets back into he goes, he's still in his basement. And
right.
they say, oh, no, you can't say that. He said, well, you know, I just want to reallocate the money. Reallocating the money is
what?
The same as funding it. You're moving the money around. And
right.
then he's against fracking. And then they say, you're going to lose Ohio, West Virginia. You're going to lose
right.
everybody. He says, I'm not really against it. Stop lying to me. I can't deal with it.
Right. Well, and what about, too, you know, I was a reporter, a TV reporter here in Denver for like 30 years. One of the most distressing and disturbing and outrageous things to me is that the media just go along with it. I mean, they not only go
right,
along with
right.
it, sometimes they're complicit in repeating the lies. I mean, I've never seen anything quite this bad.
You know, to be honest with you, it's not just, and you are so right, it's not just the media being complicit. What it is the media basically carrying the torch for them.
Yeah.
So that when something positive comes out from the Trump campaign, they won't even talk about it. When something negative about Joe Biden and his son, you know, collecting millions of dollars going to China and Joe Biden comes out and says, oh, no, the Chinese aren't the problem. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
And in the end, you know, you have to say, there is a plan here. This isn't something that just happened on a dime. What happened was that with respect to law and order, they started taking away and changing the law so no bail would be required.
Right,
and then they
right.
started electing DAs who don't believe
yes.
in incarceration. I was a DA for 30 years, and then
right.
I was a judge. Let me tell you something. If you don't have incarceration, you don't have sanctions, you don't have any kind of consequence, then you don't have justice in America. And if you hate police, and these dirtbags are showing up at the hospital where these two officers are
right.
fighting for their lives, saying, you know, your pigs, we hope you die. You know, this isn't the America that the Americans want. I don't know.
I hope not. Let me ask you a question. It's probably too late for your book, but the ruling by the federal judge Strickland in Pennsylvania, striking down portions of Governor Wolf's coronavirus
lockdowns. What do you think of that?
Yep. Well, you know what? At some point, the courts are getting involved, striking down parts of the lockdown, because, well, look, this is a Democrat playbook. Lock them down, make them afraid, wear the mask, and, you know, Joe Biden, wear the mask. I'm going to make it a mandate. Well, are you stupid? You can't. It's unconstitutional, okay? And then, you know, they have to end up going to court. It's like Gretchen Whitmer, who says, you know, I'm going to double down now that you people are going to, you're coming out and you're protesting me. But boy, if Black Lives Matter wants to protest, have at it, everybody. Don't worry about coronavirus.
What kills me?
Go out and go to work. It's a shit. This is sad. Sad.
Right.
What kills me is when Trump does something like has some immigration executive order or anything else, they get into courts and the rulings within a week or two. This one's been hanging around for 4.5 months, and he finally gets to it. And, you know, he didn't strike down the mask mandate or some of the other things, but it's just so typical. Republican justice comes very slow, whether Durham or otherwise, whether Democrats are just incredibly fast at getting what they want.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hate to in any way be critical of my Republican colleagues, but here's the bottom line. They don't fight the way the left fights.
Right.
You know, they don't lie the way the left lies. And, you know, it's like they're fighting by the Marcus of Queensberry rules while the other guy showed up with a shotgun.
Right.
All in the end, the American people have to decide what is right for them. All we want is to raise our families in freedom and safety and be able to maybe take a vacation now and then.
Yeah.
And these people want to open the borders, they want to lock us down, and then they want to take away our guns and take away the police. I mean, what do they think? We're Venezuela? They want socialism. Who is this AOC? Who was a bartender and now all of a sudden
right.
the voice of, you know, of the Democrats? This is craziness. And Joe Biden is going to put her in charge of energy and Beto O'Rourke in charge of guns. And Kamala Harris says the Constitution doesn't stop her from confiscating guns.
Right. Well, and she's now apparently calling it the Harris administration, too. She's promoted herself.
With Joe Biden.
It's
kind of, well, let me ask one more question. I know we just have you for a short time, and Judge Jean Pinheiro of Fox News fame. I had a meeting today, accounts receivable on a newspaper, accounts receivable. My executive editor was there, and he's a Democrat, although he voted for George W. Bush, so he's not an extreme Democrat. And I said, who are you voting for? And he said, well, I'm never going to vote for the orange man. And that's a lot of it. I mean, I'm just kind of like, you're destroying the country. You're killing the police, you know. I think they won't blow you up. But it's amazing how the mainstream media can keep people terrified of Trump.
Is there hope?
Yeah, and that's part of their job. And, you know, look, if you believe in capitalism, you believe in law and order, you believe in the fundamental principles of our Constitution, you don't have a choice but to vote for Donald Trump. And I am, you know, I know Donald Trump for 35 years. My then husband was his lawyer for 10 years. Let me tell you something. Donald Trump is a man who works nonstop. He would call the house all hours of the day and night looking for my husband at the time. And he is working like a dog. He's taking hits like I've never seen any human being take hits. And you know what? There isn't anyone, who could stop him in his effort to fight for us, because he's the only thing standing between us and this barbarism of the left.
And I think you're right. Judge Jeanine, your book, where can people, I'm assuming it's all over the place, right?
Yeah, you can get my book, Don't Lie to Me, on Amazon.com, or you can go to my store, judgejeanine.store, and it'll be out. You can pre-order it now, but it's out next Tuesday, and I had a lot of fun writing it because it was just for me, as I said, therapeutic to think about at least exposing the lies of the left, because I can't stand it when people lie to me.
Well, thanks so much for joining us again. It's just great to talk with you. And if it's like your prior two books, and I'm sure it is, it'll be a New York Times bestseller. So that's great.
Well, thank you, ma'am. To God's ears. Thank you.
All right. Thank you there. Take care. Judge Jeanine Pirro there. Thank you. Yep. Get her book, Don't Lie to Me, and Stop Trying to Steal Our Freedom. You know, that is be the kind of thing, if you were trying to write a book, Don't Lie to Me, you'd have to be like, wait, no, we need to add another chapter. It's like, wait, because I was starting to say with the political. I mean, just yesterday, it was like, it's undisputable that Russians hacked the DNC.
Undisputed.
Where the CrowdStrike guy in testimony before Congress said, we have no evidence that the Russians hacked anything.
We just think
right?
they kind of
we just kind of said they did, but no, we don't actually have any evidence.
Well, talk about don't lie to me. I mean, it's just amazing, the Colorado Republican Party article in the Denver Post today that all Lois Landgraf, all of the El Paso
usual
County
suspects.
People, Eli Bremer, all those are out of office. None of them are in office now. And we've got a great one in Tompkins. But they're able to go to the Denver Post and say, we all want to get rid of
to get rid of Ken Buck. And they make it sound like all Republicans in Colorado want to hold
it. Certainly El Paso can. It's a lie. It's just a lie. And talk about a lie. Ryan Call has come out for Joe Biden.
Two-time
Colorado chairman of the Republican Party. And we always said, you know, he seems awful squishy. He wasn't squishy. He's a Democrat. I mean, it's just amazing to watch establishment Republicans. You know, we're not winning anyway. Can't we just throw them out of the party? Of course, they'll throw us out of the party because they're dirty, they cheat, they lie, they steal.
And that's what,
And all their consultants.
Right.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, but you got to hope anyway that people at a certain point that people start to see, wait a minute, you know, that the CNN reporter is standing there saying it's a peaceful protest and everything's burning behind him, right? Stuff like that. And I want to play now, before we get Robert Spencer, because I think the videotape, the officers being shot is shocking enough, but then this other guy, you can see in his tape, he's doing selfies, right? And you can see he and other people are positively gleeful about the shooting. They witnessed it. And instead of going to help, what they do is they do selfies. And I'm going to tell you, this video, it's about a minute, 15 seconds long. It is very offensive. Okay. So cover your ears if you need to. But I think I just want to get, because I don't know if you've seen the whole thing, you know, just, you know, talk a little bit. And if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, your take on this too. So Thomas, if we could just play that eyewitness videotape, please.
Nigga just aired the police out, nigga. They just aired the police out, nigga. It go up and come. Them niggas just got aired out, cuz. They just bust on them niggas, cuz. That's crazy. Damn. Oh, it goes down in Compton. Oh, they just got bust off. That nigga on a knee. Damn. Police just got aired out, nigga. They just got bust on, nigga. They just got aired out. They just got aired out, nigga. It's going up. Somebody bust on their ass. Somebody bust on the police, nigga. Damn, nigga. Oh, two sheriffs shot in the face. They tripping. It's going up in Compton. Niggas bust on the police, nigga. Nigga, they just got aired out. Somebody ran up on the car and bust on their ass. Right through the window, in the face and all, nigga. It's a wrap.
There you go.
I mean,
Black Lives Matter.
You watch that and you got to wonder what the heck is wrong with people. that number one, it, you know, when you watch a video closely, like I said, this has just happened. The gunman walked up, their shot, the doors are open, and you can see in other video, it's the female deputy right. is trying to help. So they can see that these two people are shot, they're bleeding, they're hurt. And rather than going and trying to help, which you'd think would be, I mean, you got to think if a dog were dying in the street, hopefully that guy would go try to help. But no, you know, those, and there are other people wandering around there too, and none of them try to help. They're all taking it on their cell phone, they're live streaming it, and he seemed positively happy, right? He seemed positively gleeful about it.
He was gleeful.
And then not after that, then other people show up at the hospital and they want to go storm the hospital and saying that,
well,
they hope the officer's
the emergency
dead. Right
entrance, and so there are people who are coming in badly wounded or dying.
And you want to say to the freaking NFL, this is what you guys want? Right, this is what you're standing up for? Yeah. What happened? You know, Rush Limbaugh was talking about this. This is 19 years ago, okay? Being a first responder, being a police officer, the NFL, they put them up as heroes. We had the American flag at the games. Right. Now, the NFL, these are the people that they think we all should be emulating. These are the kind of people that they want, you know, they want to teach different kinds of history. It's just, it's outrageous. And if you think, and I'm sorry, I'm going to rant on this, but that just disturbed me so much watching that guy, because you got to think, what kind of depraved human being would stand by, not help, videotape it, and be happy about it?
And post the video.
And post the video. Now, his Instagram account, his Facebook account have since gone down. Okay. My question is, how did he happen to be there to videotape it in the first place? This was clearly something that was intentional. When you see the guy walk around the corner, he didn't just like stumble on these cops. The cops, he had no interaction with them. There was nothing going on. The person just walked up and shot them. I mean, it was an attempted execution. And you know, I think Judge Janina is right. You know, not only are they trying to steal our freedom, they want to disarm us so that they have the guns. And I'm going to bet you, Chuck, what do you think? You know, dollars to donuts, that guy who did the shooting had a prior record, right?
Dollars to donut, the LADA will not indict him.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, how do you not with that? But who knows?
Easy.
Yeah.
You're taking
well, there
out
was
that,
another
you know,
one of the city.
They just draw it out as long as they can. And then they say there are circumstances, just like, if you're looting, you get to give your net worth, and the right net worth number, you get to do it.
And here's the thing. When you got elected officials like Candy C. DeBakke here in Denver telling people that the cops are pigs, and we've seen some of those videos, right, saying that the police deserve everything they're getting, what do these politicians think they are stirring up, right? When you arrest people and you let them go, when you arrest people, there's no bond, they just go free. What lessons do they learn there? And then you've got the professional athletes, you've got Hollywood celebrities, all these people saying, yeah, man, you're right. And then somebody goes up and shoots a cop. I mean, what do they think is going to happen?
Just that. You know, they're happy about it. I'm sure if you got Cher, you know, if you got her in a private moment, she'd be giggling and cheering, and Barbara Streisand and all of them. I mean, you know, they're just, that's who they are. And if the Republicans don't start to realize that, and they continue to do what Judge Jean Perot said, they play by a different set of rules. And it's slow, and it's lazy, and it's gentlemanly and gentlewoman-like, but it really is.
In the meantime, that's what the Democrats are doing,
At least it's judge ruled. I mean, you know, we've had all our freedoms taken away here in Colorado, all of them, and we do nothing about it, nothing. We file a lawsuit, the Colorado Supreme Court, oh, no, go away, we don't want you. You know, start it down in the district court, and 5 years from now, we'll get to it, and we'll say maybe one or two of them was. You feel better now that we totally screwed you with our judicial system?
You know, and here's the thing, and you know, if one of those officers had seen this coming and had shot the guy or tried to disarm the guy, right? I mean, this is why sometimes police officers have to shoot bad people trying to hurt them, right? Because this is the kind of thing that happens when they don't. Then there would have been riots over that. It's just incredible, you know? And I think that's right. This is from Ben. Dollars to Donuts, the guy videoing, has a record too. Absolutely,
yeah.
Ben.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Wouldn't surprise me if they were both out on bond.
Except they're not bond. There's no bond.
There is no bond. If they'd been arrested, caught and released. And those are the kind of freedoms that are important. I mean, you know, the mask mandate and the lockdowns are important too, but it's a slow erosion, right? All of a sudden,
fast erosion.
There has been this.
Which is what the district court judge, federal district court said. He said, you know, yes. It's easy to get these started, and it's impossible.
Once
your rights have been violated, they keep up with that. I mean,
give them back. Ben, you popped up. Go ahead, and thank you for joining us there on Zoom.
Yeah, I just watching that, and I'm thinking, I wonder if that's an initiation to a gang.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of unusual that all these people happen to be there. They're all
Yeah, appearing. Good point. That's a good
so
point.
So I just wonder if this was initiation of some right. kind.
You know, wouldn't surprise me, Ben. I know, I covered this kind of stuff before, and I know there have been in other cities where there have been sort of saying, you know, there's a bounty for police officers. And I know a lot of times to get into a gang, sometimes you do have to commit a violent act, right?
That's right.
And again, when you see the other video, the guy just comes around the corner and walks up and kind of gets faster and then just shoots into the car, right? And again, all these other people just happened to be there. And
just happened to be, right. And they were just milling around, no place to go. Everybody had their cell phones going.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just thinking red flags are going up on that for me.
Yeah.
Right. Well, because think how quickly that all had to happen. You know, again, it had just happened. And the deputies get out of the car. She calls for help. And it really quickly, you know, I'm not sure on the time, but you know, with an officer down call like that, all those cars come screaming. So we're talking, I probably would guess maybe less than 5 minutes for that whole thing. And
absolutely right. You wouldn't know that the two officers been shot. You wouldn't have, you know, he was part of either the gang or something else.
Yeah, you're right. How'd they get so quickly in that time? Two deputies shot in the face.
And to know exactly what's going on.
Right. And it seemed like they were just instantaneously, they knew what was going on.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, I think it's probably be wise to bring those people in and have a kind of a face-to-face and question where they are and check their backgrounds because you're probably going to find it linked.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, although then Ben, they'll say, well, they have a First Amendment right.
Yeah,
they have a First Amendment right to do that. You know, and there isn't a
second to carry a weapon, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my guess would be that probably he didn't own that gun legally.
Unless you're a felon, then you lose that right.
Right. But I don't think.
But don't fear. I mean, in California, you can still vote. Multiple times.
If it doesn't burn down, of course, so that's according to Joe Biden. What was his bizarre statement today? Suburbs are going to be burning down. You know, what is he?
And
Trump
flooded.
Is a climate arsonist.
And flooded. Suburbs are going to be burned down and flooded. As the
right. I think New York at this time was supposed to be 14 feet underwater, if we remember Al Gore's statements of years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why Obama bought Ron right on the ocean mouth.
Because he's so worried about it.
Yeah. Well, the guy wanted to learn how to tread water.
There you go.
Okay. Hey, Ben, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your comments. I sure appreciate it.
You bet. You have a good one.
Yeah. Well, and that is, I mean, that's the kind of thing. And so, you know, if you're like, well, I don't really care about the cops, but if they would do that to them, then they would do that to anybody, right? Then there is no fear. There is no, who knows? I mean, we've seen the pictures of the looting and nothing happens. And instead you have politicians saying, well, that's reparations and they deserve that.
Right.
You know, Black Lives Matter is raising money hand over fist and then it's
and
contributing it to the Democrats. And the Democrats don't say, you know, we don't want your money. You know, they take Jeffrey Epstein's money. They take Netflix money. That's another thing. We haven't even gotten into pedophilia, for Pete's sakes, and child porn. The Obamas aren't commenting on that, right?
No. Well, they don't care. They care about how many millions. They're just two disgusting human beings. And they're,
You want to have, to our producers, if you want to go ahead and give Robert Spencer a call now, we can get him on too, because he's actually talking about the presidents and he wants
all right,
to rate
we
the
have.
President.
Oh, we have Robert Spencer with us.
Perfect timing.
Robert, great to have you on again. So we all know you from Jihad Watch and lots of other stuff. You're a real scholar on Islamic history and stuff. How did you decide a great new book on rating the presidents?
Well, I saw that the left has been at war with history, trying to make Americans ashamed of being American, ashamed of our heritage. And I thought there needs to be a pushback. There needs to be an American history that is actually based on America first principles and love for the country rather than hatred for it.
Right. You know, it's interesting. When I was in junior high school, 14 years old, I think, in American history class, we all read Arthur Schlesinger's and his kind of famous one in 62. And so, you know, one of the assignments to read the one, and then your assignment as a student was to pick out any president, you could pick out any one of them, and write why they were, in fact, either great, awful, or mediocre. So being the perverse 14-year-old, I picked the person at the bottom of the list, or almost, I think he was the bottom, Warren G. Harding. And so it's great. I get to rate what a piece of garbage this guy is. Then I read and I kind of go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He was incredibly popular while his life as president. He managed to have all the people released, including Eugene Debs, who had been wrongfully imprisoned by Woodrow Wilson. He oversaw a huge uptick in the economy. I mean, one thing after another. And he was a great president. I mean, you know, he wasn't a full term one. And, you know, he became later unpopular because of an affair with Nan Britton, you know, like, wow, president having an affair. Roosevelt would never do that. Like Franklin Roosevelt. No, Kennedy. No. And then the Teapot Dome scandal, which, you know, was two of his cabinet positions, but he appointed lots of great cabinet, Mellon, Hoover. He had a great cabinet and he had two bad ones, but his term as president was great. So I wrote the paper saying, you know, the history is a lie. This whole thing is garbage. He really should be considered a great president. I don't think I was very good in history. I don't think I ever received a C in anything. I always got A pluses because I was pretty good at it. That's the only time in my life I got a C plus with a teacher.
Oh, no, the guy did you wrong because you were writing.
Well, of course it is a lefty. He's a lousy, stinking lefty.
No, Robert, so your book
he said, I can't believe you. You know, you're supposed to write why they're great according to Arthur Schlesinger. And I don't care about Arthur Schlesinger. You and Schlesinger stink. You know, I'm sure your book's the same way. And same with Calvin. Then I went to Calvin Coolidge and said he was great for 6 years. What are you talking about? He's usually rated these days along with Jimmy Carter. I mean, it's just obscene.
So your book is Rating Americans President, an America First Look at who was best, who was overrated, who was an absolute disaster. Why don't you give us some of the highlights there?
Well, since we were talking about Harding, I have to tell you, I give him a 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
right up near the top. And Coolidge, actually a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
The four who get a 10 out of 10.
Right.
And when you're talking about some of the people who were disasters, that is unfortunately quite a few of the ones who've been around recently in a bipartisan manner. George W. Bush, Barack Obama, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, of course. Reagan standing out in the middle of all that mediocrity.
Yeah.
Why is that, do you think? I mean, were we just unlucky in voting, or has this been the sort of what I see is sort of the clash of, you know, Donald Trump and populism and globalists? To me, that's how I see it. I mean, has this been the kind of thing been coming for a while?
Yeah, I think so. This is the breakdown of the order that has prevailed since World War II. Since the end of World War II. And that was an internationalist order, so that the United States often subverted its interests in the interests of what it considered to be world peace or international, the benefit of the international community instead of the American people. And that's why a lot of these presidents were disasters, because they put the welfare of other countries over our own. I think one of the most notorious examples of that is George H.W. Bush going into Somalia militarily. There was no conceivable national interest. There was no military interest. There was no economic interest. There was no reason to be there, except that he said the Somalis are suffering a famine and we have to help out. Well, why do we have to help out? It's nice to think we can solve everybody's problems, but we simply don't have the resources to do that. And America's infrastructure is, in the meantime, crumbling, and our own people are suffering. And so the president now is putting America first, as every president ought to. But many presidents up till now have been putting America last, and that's why they rate so low in this book.
Well, let me ask you about, you know, kind of, because I know you were sort of the we've talked to you before about issues in the Middle East, but, you know, the president putting America first, I guess, let me kind of back into it. I mean, so the president's talking about what, bringing back more troops from Afghanistan. All of a sudden he's being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, not once, but twice. Your take on all of that and how that ties into America first.
Well, this is really extraordinary what he's done, because he has broken the Gordian knot. People, presidents for decades have tried to bring peace to the Middle East, and he has done it in a different way. Instead of starting with trying to solve the Palestinian problem, when, as I've written, the Palestinian jihadis, they're never going to say, hey, let's make peace. So he's going around them, which nobody's ever tried before. Right. And making peace with the other countries, or between the other countries and Israel in that area, on pragmatic grounds. And it's really extraordinary. He certainly deserves the Nobel Peace Prize, although he certainly won't get it because it's so politicized. Right. You know, they gave it to Obama just for existing, and they're not going to give it to Trump no matter what.
It's just amazing. And, you know, kudos to him recognizing that, whether it's Omar or Bahrain or the Arabic Emirates, they're all more terrified of Iran than anybody else. And so right now they go, Israel, well, whatever, but we're worried about Iran and we need U.S. help against Iran, and he's assuring it. So smart for him.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary. And this is one of the reasons why I rate him at the very top. This is the first America First president we've had in many decades. Even the phrase America First has been largely misrepresented, so that a lot of people think there's something wrong with it, when really it's just common sense. But to have strong alliances, to strengthen our allies, this is perfectly in line with the America First principle. It's not really isolationist or xenophobic in the least. This is just how it's been propagandized. And Trump is going about it the right way in making sure that these alliances are mutually beneficial, and not just the U.S. giving up everything in the hope that maybe the other country will be nice to us.
Well, or trying to, it seems to me like they try to do, the left always tries to do, social engineer their way around a situation and try to make them behave the way we think that they should behave.
Yeah, so who do you have in addition to Reagan on the top of the list?
Calvin Coolidge, Trump, and then Washington and Lincoln. And that's
You know, you must be racist, Robert. Those guys, we have to get rid of them. We're tearing their monuments down.
Know, it's interesting how people go up and down. Woodrow Wilson's very much down, even on the left.
Yeah, 0 out of 10.
Even
on the left, because he was such a racist. They finally figured out that he screened Birth of the Nation, which is an incredibly racist movie, in the White House. It's actually the first movie to be shown in the White House. Yeah. And he resegregated the civil service.
Yeah.
After it had been desegregated under Theodore Roosevelt. And
Schlesinger's book, he was in that second top tier, you know, right under Roosevelt. Maybe they'd have Teddy Roosevelt and some others, Jefferson and Jackson. Oh, Jefferson and Jackson have now taken.
Nobody, we don't like them.
And so
anymore.
Is Washington, for that matter.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
But it is amazing how they all they go up and down. The one that's risen the most is Eisenhower. You kind of go, why?
Do we
Eisenhower?
Like him or do we hate him now?
I don't like him. The reason why he's risen up so much is that they think that's a perfect Republican. Do nothing.
Yeah.
Just wait for the, 8 years of nothingness, and then we can get back into destroying the country. So it's safe. Yeah. Where'd you rate Eisenhower on your list?
I rate him. I give him some points for taking care of settling the problem in Korea, although he didn't really do it entirely satisfactorily, and restoring the economy to some degree. It's all qualified with Eisenhower after World War II. But I dock him terribly, a great deal, that is, because of the one-party state that he essentially left us with, as you're saying. There were a lot of people who thought, since he was the first Republican president in 20 years, a lot of people thought he was going to start rolling back a lot of the New Deal socialist policies, government policies. And instead, he said, nope, we're keeping it all. And he essentially made the Republican Party into just another faction of this one big party that has ruled Washington ever since, until Trump. It was Eisenhower's fault that we've been stuck in
Republicans
like Romney and McCain.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Let me ask you, although he hopefully he will never make it into your book or a sequel to your book, but Joe Biden, what would you make of him? Where would
I tell you right now, based on the Obama years, that President Joe Biden would also rate a 0 out of 10, a total disaster. He's already made it quite clear that he would put America back on the internationalist path that would put every other nation before us. America expending its resources, American taxpayers paying for the health care of illegal migrants, American taxpayers paying for adventures into foreign countries militarily that have no purpose beneficial to the United States. It would just be an absolute disaster. Of course, also massive new government programs, massive new controls, destruction of the freedom of speech, destruction of the right to bear arms. It would be maybe even the end of the republic itself.
I think that's right. Who else in your book either rose rapidly, which would be Harding and Coolidge, or dropped precipitously? Who else would not be where they would be if rated by the academic left, who really rates everything?
Well, certainly Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I gave him a 1 out of 10. He was a disaster in so many ways. He prolonged the Depression. He massively expanded the government. He sort of established the idea that is so common nowadays on the left that the government owes the American people its upkeep. We can sit back and the government will take care of us or ought to.
Yeah.
And he also did massive mistakes during the war. Of course, I gave him the 1 point for his inspirational leadership and the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Well, that's really kind of a meaningless phrase, but he's certainly an inspiring leader. And at the same time, though, he didn't, we were in a disastrous state of unpreparedness, even though anybody in the entire world with any sense could have seen that the Japanese were gunning for us and that the war was going to come.
We cut off all the oil
for Pearl Harbor.
He cut off all the oil for Japan, and they knew that Japan could not tolerate that. They just all thought he was going to invade the Philippines, you know, and even though people told them.
He must have known.
I agree with that.
There's no hard evidence for it, but there's no doubt that he knew that they were angry about that, about cutting off the oil. And he didn't do anything to protect our fleet in the Pacific. Quite the contrary. As a matter of fact, he left it vulnerable when he didn't need to. And then calling for unconditional surrender made Hitler fight on to the bitter end and to death in the Berlin bunker instead of coming to a negotiated settlement. It discouraged, actually, the anti-Hitler people in the German high command, because they figured, well, there's no point in trying to get rid of Hitler because they're not going to give us any kind of peace agreement anyway. And then at the end, of course, at Yalta, he handed Eastern Europe to Stalin on a platter and set up the Cold War in that regard, with Europe divided between the Iron Curtain and the free part. That's all FDR, so he gets very low marks.
Well, you know, it's amazing. He thought Stalin was a great guy. He just got along great with Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe.
And he hated Churchill. We found obnoxious, overbearing, blah, 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 blah. You know, talk about an interesting judge of character.
He insulted Churchill publicly in front of Stalin.
Yeah.
It's just shameful.
How about Jefferson? Where'd you put him?
Jefferson was a better statesman than a president.
Yes.
He wrote the Declaration of Independence. He had so much to do with the formation of our government. He actually was the direct beginner, the founding point, the starting point of the anti-slavery movement on a large scale in the United States. I'm not saying he was the first person against slavery in the United States. He actually owned slaves himself, but he included an anti-slavery section in the Declaration of Independence that was excised. He was the first prominent person to really come out in favor of that point of view. But as president, he was mediocre at best. He pursued an economic embargo against
a disaster.
He thought they were going to come crawling to us, and actually they didn't need us at all at that point. And the American economy suffered tremendously.
It was first, His first 4 years were positive. He certainly got the Louisiana Purchase, which is really what made the United States.
Yeah, you've got to grant him that one. There's no doubt. Yeah.
What about, you know, let me ask you this. What's concerning to me, because we have a nine-year-old, right, who's just now starting to get into all of this stuff. The look at the presidents and the history, I mean, I love the way you did it through like an American first agenda, or not agenda, but sort of a scale there.
I didn't ask the Japanese what they thought.
Right. Whether it was politically correct to say, I mean, that's one of the things. What do you see happening with history and the teaching of history and how people, I mean, there's so much garbage, you know, that the left is putting out now in terms of we have to, you know, take statues down. We don't even care if they look like they're old and they must be bad. We don't even care what they are about, right? I mean, it's almost like just ignorance is ruling, it seems.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. And it's worse than ignorance. It's malevolent misinformation. Howard Zinn, of course, is the author of the most popular, what is it, the People's History of the United States. It's full of disinformation, falsehood, half-truth, distortion, outright untruth. And it teaches young people to despise their own country. And so I was trying to offer a little bit of pushback against that.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Who else did you rate highly that we wouldn't normally think of as a good one?
President Grant, Ulysses.
Yes. I could have written this book, though. I'm sure you did it 1,000 times better. 1,000 times better, but that's that.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Yeah, he was amazing. He was, you know, a lot of the racial tension that we are experiencing today, of course, a lot of it comes from more recent factors. There's no doubt about it. But if his policies had been heeded and followed through way back when he was president from 1869 to 77, a lot of the subsequent problems would not have arisen. The solid South, the Jim Crow era, the institutionalized discrimination against Black Americans. He was against all that and spoke out strongly for civil rights in a way that, unfortunately, he was not able to sway the Democrats of his time. And so,
well, didn't convince a Republican of his times, because Hayes, who was elected after Grant in 1876, traded off turning Jim Crow on, ending Reconstruction in the South, everything else. That was the Republicans that did that so that Hayes would win over Tilden, although they assured themselves of Democratic viability by making it white-only votes in the 13 states of the old Confederacy. So, I mean, it wasn't Grant.
That was a bargain the Republicans made, no doubt about it. But it was Republicans on Grant's side who wanted Reconstruction to continue.
Yes.
It was just that they couldn't bear the idea of losing the 1876 election and gave up Reconstruction as compensation for pulling they pulled the troops out of the South and gave up Reconstruction in compensation for the Democrats agreeing that they would take the election.
But it made the Democratic Party what it was for 50 years because they could control all the old Confederacy because they had grandfather tests, literacy tests, everything else. The Democrats
about voter suppression.
The Democrats are always for voter suppression.
No doubt about it. And I show throughout the book that it was Republican president after Republican president who tried to fight that and came up, of course, against a solid wall because the Democrats in the South were immovable. The Northern Democrats needed the Southern Democrats. And so they stood with them, even FDR. And that was so nothing could be done. But it was Republican president after Republican president who, in times when Howard Zinn and Black Lives Matter would have us believe that the country was united in being racist, they were actually trying to end all that.
Well, it's just like anything else. If the Republicans try, they inevitably fail. And when the Democrats do it, they inevitably succeed. So when they decided that they weren't getting the votes they needed and everything else, and they say, we want no more disenfranchising blacks who are going to vote for us. I mean, it's just, how about Teddy Roosevelt, which I always have mixed reviews myself.
Yeah, I rated him actually a little bit lower than I kind of wanted to because he's a very appealing character personally.
Yes.
I had to because, for example, there was the coal strike. Everybody's forgotten about this, but he threatened to send troops into these private coal mines to force them to open up when the owners closed the coal mines against the strikers. Right. And he said, and they said, you know, the Constitution says you can't really interfere with people's private property in that way. And he said, to hell with the Constitution when the people need coal, which, you know, it sounds great for about 2 seconds until you realize, no, wait, we need the Constitution. It is our protection against tyranny and so on. And so I'm sorry if people are going to suffer in the short term because of this. But that's not the solution. There must be some other way.
Well, it's like the lockdowns now, right? It's like, oh, we all have to be locked down forever and wear masks and business and lives and dreams destroyed. But the Constitution.
And the non-written Chuck book, I give Truman poor grades.
He was another internationalist. And I give all the internationalists low grades. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. He also started this idea. You know, Trump talks about the endless wars. Now, Korea was not an endless war. It only lasted 3 years. But the idea of fighting a war not to victory.
Win.
But to just come to some standoff, some mutually acceptable end. That started with Truman and the Korean War. So he's got to be rated low for that.
Yeah, and it's always amazing when you go back and you know, because Truman was rated highly by Schlesinger and by others.
Sure.
You kind of go, why is it that those people rated so highly, like Truman, were absolutely loathed when they left office at the time of the election, while Harding, who was loved, stinks. You kind of go, did all of America just not get it? Or,
like,
or are
if
these,
the voters liked him, they hated him.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
the left thinks. All of America doesn't get it. They have to teach us.
What about, you know, one of the things that I worry about and why I think it is one of the many reasons it's so important to have Trump back in office is, you know, you've got the threats from the giant tech companies from China. I mean, the world is so much more international and global. And I think I think that's a real threat that Trump gets that either Biden is paid off for and corrupt and doesn't care about or doesn't get.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. Biden doesn't care about American sovereignty. It's very clear. He wants to resubmit us to the Paris Climate Accord, which is ridiculous, as Trump has pointed out many times. China doesn't have to do anything, and America has to make all these economic concessions that will weaken our economy drastically and irreparably.
Yeah.
And Biden is all for that, and all for these ridiculous Green New Deal provisions that will destroy what's left of the economy after that.
Right.
And so this is something that look, people have said he's in China's pocket. They're paying him or whatever. I'm not saying any of that, but I don't think he'd be behaving any differently if it were true.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, they did manage to give Hunter a $1.5 billion fund.
Oh, Chuck,
manage.
He worked hard for that. Oh, he worked hard for that. Hey, Robert, we're running out of time here. Where can people? I'm guessing everywhere people can get your book, right?
Yes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And if there are any brick-and-mortar bookstores out there, they should have it.
All right, sir.
Robert, great. I'm glad that you agree with me on virtually every case. Or I agree with you. I'm not sure which it is. But it sounds like a great book and the one they ought to have in high school and everywhere. So appreciate you coming on. You're great.
A pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That's Robert Spencer. The name of the book is Rating America's Presidents, An American First Look at Who's Best, Who's Overrated, and Who Was an Absolute Disaster. Want to talk about Synergenics real quick?
Yeah. Synergenics is the undisputed clinical leader in the field of health optimization medicine. The physicians go beyond just basic medicine, focus on preventative medicine. They keep you the root causes of all health issues and keep you feeling your best at every age. And I can tell you that's true. On my diet, I'm down to
266.8,
and I'm continuing to go down. I've lost not quite 10 pounds in a week, and so it feels great. Feels great, and that's one thing about Dr. Julie McCallum. If you follow the diet and her help, you will lose the weight, and no question about it. Julie over here is dieting too.
I'm just doing it all on my own.
On our own, and with the usual results. Yeah.
It's like,
what she's saying about the same.
Chuck says, well, how was your weight? I'm like, same.
Same.
So
it's wonderful. Yeah. Julie, what's the number?
The number is 720 387-3681, 720-387-3681. You can check him out online, and it's CENEGENICS.com, cenegenics.com. Hey, that's going to kind of wrap it up. We've got another great show coming up on Wednesday. We've got Michael Tao. Investigative blog. Oh, yeah. His head keeps exploding over the whole coronavirus.
It should.
Yeah. Scam. I think we also have John Conlon. He had a great column on AM Greatness talking about the education system and the massive problems we have here. And, you know, if they want to talk about getting rid of systemic problems, that's probably one of the best places they can start. Remind you, you can get all of our podcasts and listen to us live at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter at chuckandjulie1. But you can get all of that information. Just go to chuckandjulie.com.
All right. Great to see everybody. Hump Day Wednesday. We'll be back with that. And of course, Party Friday comes before you know it.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thanks, everybody at Zoom. Thank you to Thomas and the folks at BBS.